This is The Guardian. Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal Land with a full story.
Well, it clearly is an outrage, and there's a need for a far more transparent and clear explanation from the Israeli government other than what we've received.
That's the Prime Minister after Israel's Defence Forces released their findings into the killing of Australian aid worker Zomi Frankham. Frankham was one of seven members of the US-based aid group World Central Kitchen. The National Commission of Inquiry has described as an ongoing genocide, something Israel denies. Last week, Australia learned that the IDF decided not to open a criminal investigation into the deaths of the aid workers. The Israeli ambassador to Australia, Hillel Newman, explains why.
You know, there are tragic circumstances in a war zone, and we're very sorry for the family, but that does not always mean that there's criminal liability. Let's make a distinction between the two.
Military by Australia since the war in Gaza.
To learn of these developments in these circumstances was especially insulting and hurtful to Zomi's loved ones, to humanitarians, and to Australians.
Today, political editor Tom McElroy on whether Australia's relationship with Israel is at an all-time low. It's Tuesday, the 25th of August. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Regid. Great to be with you.
Before we get into the details, just give us a sense, is this the most difficult diplomatic relations have been between Australia and Israel that you've seen?
Yeah, definitely in my time covering federal politics, there have been a number of difficult points in the relationship. A couple that come to mind were revelations that Israeli intelligence agencies had used forged Australian passports in operations. Also that Australian war graves in Israel had been damaged and that there was an apparent reluctance to deal with that in an expedited way from the Israeli government. But I think the relationship is under real strain since the October 7 terrorist attacks against Israel by Hamas and amid a growing trend of anti-Semitism in Australia, plus a difficult political relationship between our federal Labor government and the government of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel.
That background is really interesting. Let's take a look at what's happening right now that's got relations to this point. The Australian government has come out quite strongly on this issue. The IDF has completed an investigation into the killing of Zomi Frankham. First of all, what did they find?
We learned last week on World Humanitarian Day that the Israeli Defence Forces were not going to pursue criminal charges related to the deaths in the convoy that Zomi Frankham, the Australian-born aid worker, was travelling. We knew that there was an investigation underway for some time. This strike that killed Frankham and her colleagues is a couple of years ago now. The Israeli side said that there had been an error made, but there wasn't sufficient grounds for a criminal prosecution. This was met with outrage here in Canberra. The Australian federal government was very unhappy with this decision. They'd been waiting for a long time for a resolution or for next steps in this case. And I think you could see real anger on the face of the foreign minister, Penny Wong. She called in the Israeli ambassador, which is a diplomatic marker when governments are unhappy with each other. It's something calling in their envoy is a kind of formal response.
Is it quite a serious move to do that?
Absolutely. It's usually a way for a government to show unhappiness or frustration or anger with the actions of the other government. And that certainly was what happened in this case. Wong also spoke to her counterpart, the Israeli foreign minister, in the 24 hours subsequent to the announcement. So the response was real anger from Australia, and I think we're going to see more of that as the days go on.
There was an initial investigation conducted by the IDF at the time of the killings. They found a breach of procedures. Can you just take us through what we know about what actually happened?
Frankham was working with World Central Kitchen, the US non-profit group. They had coordinated with the Israeli military about the movement of the cars in the convoy on the ground in Gaza. They also said that the group's logos were visible from the roofs of the vehicles and other places, and they believed that they had safe passage because they'd taken those measures. The IDF said that it had mistaken several individuals in the vehicles for armed Hamas operatives and that the convoy had deviated from the planned route. So they believed that it wasn't what they'd expected and therefore that it posed a risk. This has led to the strikes, and Penny Wong makes the point that there were repeated strikes and obviously the deaths of Frankham and her colleagues. And what comes from there is a series of investigations and now this ultimate decision. Australia had its own review led by Mark Binskin, the former military leader. He didn't have access to very much material, and the Australian government is still pushing for more information about exactly what happened. And I think that kind of is where we're at in terms of the deadlock on investigations and official information about the deaths.
We know that two officers were removed from their positions at the time, three others reprimanded. And we've also heard from the Israeli ambassador that said the Binskin review had similar conclusions to the IDF. So why is the government upset that there isn't now a criminal investigation? How do they explain that?
Penny Wong's position is that the Israel Defense Forces had made admissions that the IDF strike on the convoy were the result of serious failures in following of procedure that the IDF themselves had laid out, mistaken identification, and other errors in the decision-making chain. Australia is of the view that these should be investigated in the criminal context because the deaths were so egregious. Obviously, the Israeli Defense Forces have come to a different view, and this has really fueled the anger. However, there's one other element that Penny Wong was at pains to point out. The timing of the announcement was very controversial. Penny Wong had been with Zomi Frankham's family members a few hours before the announcement was made. They were announcing a honour for her on World Humanitarian Day here in Australia. But because Australia had only limited advanced warning of the announcement from Israel, she wasn't able to give the Frankham family much notice in person. Now, Penny Wong's position is that World Humanitarian Day, which honours people who serve in difficult situations in conflict zones, who help out vulnerable people around the world, was inappropriate for a big set of announcements about investigations, including this one. And I think that leads to some of the anger that was really visible on Penny Wong's face. The Israeli side didn't seem to put much truck in the timing of the announcement on that particular day of commemoration.
Just briefly, in terms of that timing, is that unusual in terms of protocol? Would a foreign government normally warn another government about something like this?
I think there's no standard set of rules, but usually you would expect some forewarning. Certainly Penny Wong thought that there was insufficient timing here and that doing it on a different day or with proper consultation would have eased the situation somewhat. However, I suspect the outcome probably would have been similar. Australia viewing it as very unsatisfactory that this is the end of the road as far as the Israelis are concerned.
Do we have a response from the Israeli ambassador as to why they chose to release the IDF's decision on that day?
Yes. So the Israeli ambassador to Canberra, Hillel Newman, who has been speaking for the Israeli side here in Australia and himself was called in, as we've mentioned, said that there'd been pressure on the Israeli government to announce the outcome of these situations, including the Frankham investigation. He spoke to the media here in Canberra after his meeting with the foreign minister and in an interview the next day. He stressed that pressure was building on Israel. They felt they needed to get the information out. It could be that the timing was not good, he conceded. I think that won't be much consolation to the Australian government, given the real palpable anger that this timing had. The other thing to say is that the Frankum family were outraged themselves about this and viewed the timing as inflammatory and disrespectful to their daughter and sister's memory. And I think that it's safe to say that that's a position that's shared by others in the humanitarian community around the world who saw this as a provocation or an insult, at least, that the day was overshadowed by this announcement.
After the break, where Australia and Israel go from here. The Australian government obviously is very strong on wanting a criminal investigation, but how has Israel explained this decision? Because clearly they disagree.
Yeah, they certainly disagree. And the ambassador was very forceful when he was asked about this at Parliament House. He said that a court had gone through its process and come to the decision that there was not criminal liability. He then said, in comments that I think inflamed tensions a bit, that it would then not be appropriate to, quote, lynch people on the streets. He said, there are a lot of haters of Israel in Australia. We have seen that time and time again. His view was that the process had run its course, that appropriate decisions by appropriate office holders had been made, and that this was the end of the line. And I think this is the crux of the dispute between Australia and Israel on this question.
Tom, we've heard Penny Wong now say she really wants an apology. What has Israel said about that, or the ambassador? Is that likely to come?
The ambassador was clear that he expressed sympathy to Frankum's family and to the families of other people killed in the strike, but he said that there were legal ramifications from using the words sorry or offering a formal apology, and he stopped short there. We've understood for a while that Israel wasn't prepared to apologise. And we also have had questions about reparations, some kind of compensation to family members of those who were killed. Hillel Newman, the ambassador, said that reparations were an issue that Israel would be checking on, that it wasn't his decision here in Australia, and a specific request was required for some sort of process on reparations. So perhaps that's one area that we'll see further action. But as I say, he wasn't giving any ground, or certainly not offering an apology at this time.
And well, in terms of future action, much has been discussed about also getting the drone audio released. Can you just explain that?
Yeah, this is a key question, and it really has been back to Frankum's death in 2024. We understand that the audio of drone footage from the strikes exists. Israel hasn't been prepared to provide it. The Binskin inquiry wasn't able to hear it. The Australian government and the family have been pushing for it to be released. I guess the possibility is that it gives insight into the decision-making chain, who was involved, or what was said in the critical moment. Previously, the ambassador has offered to ask more questions about the drone audio. That seems to have come to a dead end. And my sense is that Israel isn't prepared to hand it over. Certainly, they haven't been willing so far. Penny Wong says that her next steps will be guided by the Frankum family's wishes, and that conversations between the family and the government will be continuing. So through the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Frankum family issued a statement as this was all playing out. We haven't heard directly from them other than this statement. They said that they and other families of the World Central Kitchen aid workers who were killed had been waiting for justice for more than 2 years, hoping and calling for an independent criminal investigation. And I'll quote, "Zomi and her colleagues deserve more than an internal, opaque process that ends with a short statement by the Israeli military absolving their soldiers of criminal wrongdoing. The family of the victims deserve transparency and an independent judicial assessment of the criminal responsibility for the international humanitarian law violations that took place on that day, 1 April 2024.
Tom, let's just come back to relations between Australia and Israel. Where do you think that's going to go now? Do you think Australia might attempt to smooth things over, or do you think we're going to be stuck in this really difficult position because this issue remains unresolved?
I think we're going to stay in this difficult period for a while. And Penny Wong herself has used that phrase. She said clearly it's a difficult time in the relationship. There's a couple of factors going on. I think the politics is at a bit of a disconnect between the Labor government and the government of Netanyahu in Israel. He's facing tough elections in October and he's maintaining a hardline stance on a number of issues. He certainly called out Australia in a number of areas, including on anti-Semitism and on the December 2025 shootings at Bondi Beach. So that has inflamed the political frustrations at both ends. I think there's a possibility for a reset after the elections are out of the way, depending on whether Netanyahu wins and stays in office or if there's a new government in Israel. But for the foreseeable future, I think we'll continue in this difficult period. Labor doesn't want to take a backward step in pushing for things like justice for Zomi Frankem and her family. Equally, Netanyahu's forward-leaning, pretty tough politics, he believes serves him well in a domestic setting ahead of those elections. And I think anyone who has even a casual understanding of Israeli politics and of the man himself knows that Netanyahu is a pretty bold figure and isn't one to take backward steps. So I think for some time, barring some other element that could resolve tensions, and to be frank, I think that's unlikely, I think we'll stay in this difficult period for a while. There's an Australian element in it too. The coalition has been very critical of Labor on the question of anti-Semitism and the relationship with Israel. I think the coalition believe that as a political organisation, they are closer to Benjamin Netanyahu and his government, and they certainly signal that they are more closely aligned. So I think that feeds into a domestic politics situation in a strange way as well.
Well, just finally on that, where does the coalition and the Greens stand? Are we seeing a sort of bipartisanship on this from other political parties?
The Greens have argued that a tougher response against Israel is necessary because of this and other factors in the relationship. They have called for more sanctions on Israel, something that the government at the moment isn't prepared to go forward with.
Well, and they wanted the expulsion of the ambassador.
Yeah, the expulsion of the ambassador. Now, that's a huge diplomatic move and happens very rarely. Our listeners will remember that the Iranian ambassador was expelled. That was the first time since the Second World War that that had happened. So I don't think that's the road the government wants to walk down. That would be a real break in the relationship with a historic partner in Israel. So while we have difficult relations at the moment, I don't think they want to escalate it further. But domestic politics is a factor as well. So other parties in Australian politics and in Israeli politics will posture and make comments that suit their political bases, their political agenda.
Tom, thank you so much for taking us through all of this today.
Thanks, Rajit. It's great to be with you.
That was political editor Tom McElroy. This episode was produced by Shane Anderson and Taylor Strano, sound design and mixing by Lou Hill. The executive producers of this episode of Full Story are Hannah Parks and Molly Glassie. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Rajit Ahmed. See you soon.